Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, February 14th, 2019. We will begin today's reading with the article headlined, Officials, Exciting If Rivian Deal A Go, by Derek Bay. Normal. McLean County officials are cautiously optimistic about Tuesday's report that industry titans Amazon and General Motors may invest in Rivian. It's good news that leading established companies are taking notice of Rivian's work, said Zach Dietmeyer, Vice President of Marketing and Communications for the Bloomington Normal Economic Development Council, of a Reuters report that the company could sell minority stakes to Amazon and GM, valuing Rivian between $1 billion and $2 billion. That GM and Amazon are even considering investment shows Rivian is trending in a very positive direction, he continued. Rivian, which plans to make electric vehicles with up to 1,000 workers at the former Mitsubishi plant in Normal, came out in a big way when it unveiled its first vehicle on stage at the Los Angeles Auto Show in November. Officials said then they hoped it would dispel doubts about Rivian locally and beyond. Rivian, Amazon, and GM have not confirmed the report. Rivian told the Pantograph, "We don't comment on media speculation." Amazon told the Pantograph, "We don't comment on rumors speculation." GM told Bloomberg, "We admire Rivian's contribution to a future of zero emissions and an all-electric future," but did not specifically comment on the report. Bloomberg reported the deal could be announced this week. "I don't know if they do have that level of investment coming from Amazon or GM, so I can't speculate one way or another if that's going to be a game changer for them," said Normal Mayor Chris Koos of his reaction to the report. "As far as I'm concerned, Rivian has been for real for quite a while." Dietmeyer noted the reporting seems pretty speculative. "Obviously, it's an exciting thing if that pans out, but where you are right now, we'll wait and see," he said. "We're looking forward to finding out more information." Banking giant Morgan Stanley told MSNBC that Amazon may be looking to beef up its efforts toward electric self-driving cars delivering packages, and GM may be looking to invest in electric alternatives to its gasoline trucks. Rivian is working on multiple vehicles, including the RIT pickup and R1S SUV, with the pickup to hit the market in 2020. Rivian officials have said they hope to bring prototypes to Bloomington Normal to show off early this year, but that hasn't yet been scheduled. The company must hire 500 locally and invest $40.5 million by the end of 2021 to receive hundreds of thousands in local tax breaks, plus a $1 million Normal grant. It must hire 1,000 locally over a decade to receive about $50 million in state income tax credits. Rivian paid $16 million for the former Mitsubishi Motors North America plant on Normal's west side in 2017. Mitsubishi employed about 3,000 there at its peak. The plant had 1,200 employees when it ceased production in 2015. Normal was among the first customers for Rivian after pre-orders opened last fall, reserving two vehicles. The R1T starts at $61,500, depending on the model, and the R1S starts around $70,000. "I think it will fit into our fleet, and it's showing Rivian we appreciate they're in our community and we're committed to them," said Koos last fall after traveling to Los Angeles for Rivian's reveal event. "We're looking forward to showing it off in the community." The next front page story is headlined, 27-year wait. Judge grants Donald Whelan a new trial, by Edith Brady Lenny. Bloomington. After more than 27 years in prison, Donald Whelan was given a new trial Wednesday morning in the 1991 brutal beating and stabbing death of his father in a downtown Bloomington bar. Judge Scott Drazewski delivered the ruling after 3 days of hearings on Whalen's request for a new trial based on information developed since his trial in the death of William Whalen. The defendant lowered his head and wiped tears after the ruling. He reached out to his mother in the courtroom and grabbed her hand before he was returned to the county jail, pending a bond hearing next week. Colleen Whalen also cried after the judge ordered a new trial for her son, 52. When asked about plans for her son if the state decides to dismiss charges rather than have a second trial, she said, "Just do family things, Thanksgiving and Christmases." Defense lawyers Tara Thompson and Elliot Slozar with the Exoneration Project said they are hopeful the state will drop the case. Calling Drazewski a courageous judge, Slozar said he wants the state's attorney's office to take a deep look into the record, and if that actually happens, the only possible conclusion is that there's no longer probable cause and the state should dismiss charges against Donald Whalen. For Thompson, Whalen's case is an illustration of similar post-conviction efforts where people just want the opportunity for the court to hear the whole story and correct what is wrong. Whalen's bond was set at $2 million, so he will need to post $200,000 to be released pending trial. A hearing is set for Tuesday on a defense motion to reduce the bond. The McLean County State's Attorney's Office has 30 days to decide if an appeal of the ruling will be filed and if the state will move forward with a second trial. In a statement after the ruling, State's Attorney Don Knapp said his office will obtain a transcript of Judge Drazewski's ruling granting Mr. Whalen's 2-1401 petition, which ordered a new trial. Once my team and I have had an opportunity to review the court's ruling in detail and compare it to the evidence introduced at trial, as well as the post-conviction hearings, we will determine an appropriate path forward. Drazewski spelled out his reasons for granting the new trial in a 30-minute ruling. He started by noting that to qualify for a second trial, the defense must show that newly discovered evidence exists that is relevant, material to the case, and may not have been available at the time of the trial. The new evidence, if presented at a new trial, must be of such a caliber that it could change the outcome of the trial. Drazewski said the DNA evidence and fingerprints evidence presented during the post-conviction process warrants a new trial for Whalen. He noted the new evidence is great enough to undermine confidence in the outcome of the first trial. Evidence that excluded Donald Whalen as the contributor of DNA on every evidence collected at the former 20 grand tap includes knives used as the murder weapon, is clearly both new, relevant, and material evidence, the judge ruled. During Whalen's trial, the state told jurors that a bloody palm print found on a piece of a broken pool cue could only belong to Donald Whalen. But testimony last week from retired Illinois State Police Crime Lab scientist John Dierker raised questions about the credibility of that opinion, said the judge. Drazewski ruled the results of DNA tests on several knives found at the crime scene potentially implicate an unknown assailant, information Whalen's jury never heard because the knives were only tested after the state lab was ordered to conduct tests several years ago as part of Whalen's challenge of the conviction. Former prosecutor Tina Griffith thwarted further comparisons with unidentified fingerprints by directing the crime lab to only compare the prints to Donald Whalen and his father, according to testimony at 3 days of recent hearings. On the issue of the palm print, the discovery of records from the state crime lab detailing discussions between the Bloomington Police Department and Dierker could be helpful to the defense at a new trial, said Drazewski. The notes were turned over by BPD to Whelan's lawyers with the Exoneration Project in response to a subpoena. Dierker's notes early on in the investigation that the palm print was unsuitable for comparison to William Whelan cast doubt on the opinion that the palm print was a match to the defendant, said Drzewski. Furthermore, the recent testimony showing testing was never conducted on the palm print to confirm it was left in blood is new evidence that could be critical to a new trial, said the judge, adding the state's opinion related to the print lacks any scientific foundation. Several points raised by the defense did not rise to the level of newly discovered evidence, said Drzewski. Evidence that police did not give appropriate attention to another potential suspect would be additional but not new evidence at a second trial, the judge ruled. Robert McIlvaney was a bar patron told by the elder Whelan to leave hours before the homicide. McIlvaney was questioned by police about 3 hours after the victim's body was found and offered what could be considered incriminating statements, contended Slozar. When called to the stand at a recent hearing, McIlvaney refused to answer more than 30 questions, instead asserting his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. The questions from Slozar directly accused McIlvaney of killing the victim. In his closing arguments Tuesday, Assistant State's Attorney David Rossi argued the lack of DNA evidence linking Donald Whelan to his father's death should not be a reason for a new trial. According to Rossi, if the victim was struck from behind, the perpetrator would have controlled the fight early on and been able to walk away without obvious signs of injury. When Donald Whelan was questioned by Bloomington police the morning after his father's body was found, he showed no signs of injury. And a sidebar gives us the chronology of the Whelan case. April 1991, William Whelan, 45, is brutally beaten and stabbed to death at the downtown Bloomington bar he owns, 20 Grand Tap. June 1991, Donald Whelan, then 24, charged with 2 counts of first-degree murder. November 1991, a McLean County jury convicts Whelan of murder. December 1991, Whelan sentenced to 60 years in prison. December 1992, the 4th District Appellate Court upholds Whelan's conviction. March 1994, the Illinois Supreme Court upholds his conviction. August 2003, Whelan files a petition in McLean County for DNA tests on trial evidence. July 2005, Whelan denied retrial on argument his lawyer had conflict of interest. Appellate court upholds decision in 2006. October 2011. Appellate court rules forensic testing should be done on evidence. December 2013. Testing results may point to new suspect. January 2016. Exoneration Project agrees to represent Whelan. August 2017, Whelan files petition for new trial. February 2019, Whelan granted new trial. The next story is entitled, CHS Funding Approved. Board of Health OKs Contracts. Program Won't Take New Clients. By Paul Sweech. Bloomington. The McLean County Board of Health approved contracts on Wednesday night for the balance of 2019 for Center for Human Services, Psychiatric and Emergency Crisis Intervention Programs. The contracts call for slight increases over 2018 funding, but not enough for CHS to resume accepting new clients into its psychiatric program, CHS Executive Director Tom Barr told the Pantograph after the meeting. We are very proud to have the opportunity to continue to provide critical psychiatric and crisis services with the Board of Health funding, Barr said. But that funding essentially is a continuation of yearly funding of the two CHS programs, Barr said. CHS needs another $400,000 to resume accepting new clients into its psychiatric program, Barr said. We continue to look for grants and other funding opportunities, but so far have been unsuccessful, he said. Money from a local sales tax established in 2015 for mental health programs is intended for new initiatives rather than core programs, such as the CHS psychiatric program, which serves people ages 12 and older with severe and persistent mental illness. John M. Scott Health Trust has granted $95,857 to CHS for the psychiatric program, $40,857 more than last year. But that money is for 1 year, Barr said. On December 3rd, CHS suspended accepting new clients into its psychiatric program because of declining support from the state and United Way of McLean County since 2015. That decline will total $523,000 by later this year, Barr said. The number of people served by the program is down to 720, Barr said. CHS has spent $1.5 million of its reserves to sustain the program, but its reserves are down to $2.9 million. The Board of Health decided in December to extend the board's 2018 contract with CHS until the end of February, rather than approving funding for all of 2019, in an effort to get questions answered by CHS. Since then, McLean County Health Department Administrator Camille Rodriguez and two Board of Health members met with Barr and two members of his staff. I think many of our questions were answered, Rodriguez said after the meeting. But going forward, the Board of Health and the Health Department want to increase communications with CHS to avoid another situation where a provider suspends referrals, Rodriguez said. The board approved $278,709 for psychiatric services for March 1st through December 31st, which brings 2019's total allocation to $333,000, compared with $325,745 last year, said Kathy Dreyer, the Health Department Finance Director. The board approved $319,700 for crisis intervention for March 1st through December 31st, which brings 2019's total allocation to $382,000 compared with $373,800 last year, Dreyer said. Board of Health President Judy Buchanan noted the slight increases. These are services that must be provided, she said. The next story is entitled, Revised City Zoning Code Goes to Council, by Maria Nagel. Bloomington. The Bloomington Planning Commission's nearly three-year-long comprehensive overhaul of the city's zoning ordinance is finished, but it is letting the City Council address the issue of high-density housing in historic residential neighborhoods. The Commission voted unanimously Wednesday to recommend the Council adopt the 250-page revised code that governs the type of businesses and structures allowed in the city. It did, however, ask the Council to study the density concerns that especially affect neighborhoods near downtown. The Council could consider the draft ordinance at its February 25th meeting, said Bloomington City Planner Katie Simpson. The hundreds of suggested changes include subdividing the city's 26-block downtown Central Business District into three smaller zoning districts to make redevelopment easier, and consolidating some commercial districts to eliminate unnecessary duplication. It also includes changes for beekeeping and would, for the first time, allow raising chickens in residential areas. A public hearing December 12th was continued until Wednesday after the Commission heard testimony and received emails about a 40-year-old R3B multiple-family residence district zoning provision that allows densities of up to 70 dwellings per acre. Opponents wanted that zoning changed in the revised code to preserve historic neighborhoods like Dimmitt's Grove around the edges of downtown. The commission had that same concern, and we hope the council will take that under advisement and do a studying of all the R3B zoning around downtown to see if that zoning is appropriate or not, said Commission Chairman Justin Boyd after the meeting. Commissioner Tyson Moore voiced his concern about the revised code giving the Zoning Board of Appeal final say on matters that come before it and eliminating appeals to the City Council. If anyone wants to appeal, they will need to take the city to court, so there would be legal fees associated with that by both the city and the individual, said Moore after the commission's meeting Wednesday. Two Bloomington business owners, Dale Nafziger, owner of Growing Grounds Garden Center, and Phil Boulds, owner of Muggsy's Pub, testified Wednesday that they thought the new code was too restrictive. "Please think about the little guy. The more expenses and the more rules you make, the more we aren't going to be able to do that," said Nafziger. "I just think you're doing too much. It's overbroad." Boyd, other commissioners, and city officials disagreed, noting that efforts were made to make the new zoning ordinance more flexible and usable. "This thing is not more burdensome or specific than the zoning ordinance that we've got," said Commissioner David Stanzak. "I think the results have been brought about by a transparent process, a lot of hearings, a lot of input." Chicago-based Hauziel Levine Associates has been helping the commission draft the changes since August 2016. In fact, the council approved adding up to $25,000 to the $125,000 initially agreed for reviewing and rewriting the zoning ordinance to cover the cost of additional meetings and further revisions. Here's a story entitled, "Rally Marks Local Gun Violence. Bloomington Normal Victim's Mother Urges Community to Do Better, Seek Action," by Edith Brady Lunny. Bloomington. Relatives of a man killed by gunfire in October gathered Wednesday to call for an end to the shootings that claimed 9 lives locally in 2018 and to mark the first anniversary of the shooting that left 17 dead at a Florida high school. For Demika Kirkwood, the pain has not subsided in the 106 days since her 27-year-old son, Trevante Kirkwood, was gunned down on a sidewalk on North Oak Street in Bloomington. "As a community, we've got to do better," Kirkwood told the audience lining the sidewalk and steps of the downtown McLean County Museum of History. Kirkwood fought back tears as she recalled the phone call telling her of her son's injuries. The tears flowed as she remembered the double whammy of having to tell her son's 5-year-old daughter the horrific news. To the cowards who killed her son, Kirkwood had a message. "You will be brought to justice. If justice is not achieved on earth, they will meet their maker," she said. The event, sponsored by McLean County Moms Demand Action, is one of several events the group has organized since March 2018. 1 year ago today, the nation recorded its deadliest high school shooting after a lone gunman killed 17 students and staff members at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. The number of victims surpassed the 1999 massacre at a high school in Columbine, Colorado. The mass shooting in Florida was the catalyst for renewed calls nationwide for changes in gun laws. Many of those calls coming from new organizations and student-led campaigns. In McLean County, police have made arrests in 10 of the 11 homicides, 9 of which involved guns, that occurred during a record-breaking year of violent crime. Kirkwood's murder remains unsolved. Lori Bell, with Moms Demand Action, said bad weather forced the group to reschedule the gathering from the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. Valentine's Day and the first anniversary of the Parkland shootings seemed a fitting time to surround D'Amica Kirkwood with love and support, she said. Only when we have justice for Trevante can he rest in peace, said Bell. Pat Turner, a minister with Center for Hope Church and candidate for the Normal City Council, held Kirkwood's hand as she delivered her remarks as a mom to a mom, offering love and support. Kirkwood's death is a call to all of us, said Turner, to wake up, a call to realize the challenge before us, a time to really move into action in a way we've never done before. The group released a bouquet of red, heart-shaped balloons after closing remarks from the Reverend Molly Ward, chaplain for Advocate Broman Medical Center in Normal. Ward asked people to take multiple steps forward until they were huddled on the top steps, surrounding Kirkwood's mother in a group embrace. The problem of gun violence is not limited to mass shootings in places far away from the Twin Cities, Ward reminded the crowd. Everyone is connected as neighbors and must look out for each other, she said. Here's an item entitled, Miller Park Zoo Seeks Volunteers. Bloomington. The Miller Park Zoo is seeking volunteers to help with projects around the zoo grounds. Informational meetings are set for 10 to 11 a.m. Saturday and 6 to 7 p.m. February 20th at the zoo, 1020 South Morris Avenue, Bloomington. Volunteer candidates only need to attend one meeting. The zoo needs talented builders, artists, and others of all skill sets and levels. Volunteers can help run the carousel or help out with the animals. For more information, contact Anthony Nelson at Miller Park Zoo, 309-434-2842. Or anelson@cityblm.org. Here are some items from today's area calendar. How to Survive a Zombie Apocalypse, 6 to 8 p.m. tonight at Normal Public Library, grades 6 through 12. Illinois State University Jazz Ensembles 1 and 2, 7 to 10 p.m. tonight at the New Lafayette Club, 1602 South Main Street, Bloomington. Big Band Dance, $15 at the door. Dress nicely, no jeans or t-shirts. Pianist Jasmine Arakawa, 8 p.m. tonight at Westbrook Auditorium, Presser Hall, Illinois Wesleyan University, Bloomington. He is a guest artist. And an item for tomorrow, Friday, at Illinois Wesleyan University, the Wind Ensemble, 7:30 p.m. Friday, Westbrook Auditorium, Presser Hall, Illinois Wesleyan University, Bloomington. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for February 14th. Please stay tuned.